Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Despite an intense fear of death since childhood, Ciarán Pryor became a Garda crime scene investigator, a job that exposed him to the very thing he had feared most growing up. Well, after over 30 years in frontline policing, he now works as a motivational speaker. A lifetime of dealing with death, trauma and tragedy has provided him with deep insights and a unique perspective on the fragility of this life that we live. He also has a profound knowledge of just how quickly and sometimes violently it can all end for us. And he has released his memoir, which is called Trace of Truth, and he joins me now. Good morning to you, Ciarán. Lovely
morning,
to have you with us. The start of your book is fascinating because you ponder whether your eventual career choice was made to counter this phobia that you developed at a very young age when it came to death. I mean, what happened? Explain to people.
I suppose phobia would be too strong a word, Claire. It was kind of, I think the phrase I used was it actually a counterphobic choice in that I had this fear of death as a child due to personal circumstances. I was called after an uncle, Ciarán, who died tragically as a 14-year-old in a shooting accident. And as a child, I found out also that my dad had a brother called Ciarán, who died young as a baby too. So as a young child, there was a feeling, was I going to get out of childhood? But not only that, had a personal exposure in terms of a family friend that was shot dead in a bank robbery. He was a detective in the Guards, a friend who I remember calling to our house and he bringing me to a football match. So there was a connection there. Our local community was ravaged by tragedy over a four-year period in my childhood, and we used to sing at the Requiem Masses. So it really marked me, Claire. So I suppose that sentence was a way of just teeing it up that perhaps the strange fact that having such an exposure as a child and having that fear that I ended up working in a job that really exposed me to it on a very different level.
So how do you think then that childhood fear led you into the Gardaí, or do you relate the two?
No, well, I don't think it specifically led me in, but I suppose that's what I was teeing up. Was it in fact a counterphobic choice that I was led to the very thing that caused me anxiety? So I went into the Guards and frontline policing, where the exposure to death, obviously working in Dublin over 9 years, was very intense, and then followed by a career in crime scene investigation for 15 years brought that exposure to an entirely different level. And I suppose with that exposure came resilience that was there as a child. Even though I had a fear, I managed to overcome it, and certainly that fear of death passed.
Yeah. Now you give a glimpse in this book behind the scenes into some of Ireland's most shocking murders.
Yes.
How did you choose what to include in this memoir? Because they're hugely sensitive cases.
Sure. Again, they were from the personal connection and the personal point of view, Claire. And again, I've told the story from my perspective and my personal connection, and I hope that I've managed to do it very sensitively and with a realization that, you know, people are impacted by that. But I suppose, again, as well as crime scene investigation and that, the book really is also a reflection on death and the connection with death that I had, as well as crime scene investigation.
What effect did it take on you? Because you're obviously somebody who thinks deeply about these things. So
yes,
Walking in on those dreadful scenes, and your job is to collect the evidence, isn't it?
Sure, Claire. And I suppose if I could equate it to, you pull on that white suit and you zip it up and you've got to suppress inside what you're seeing, what you're dealing with, because your duty is to that deceased person to button up and get on with it and find whatever you can to ensure justice for them and for the family. And that is to the forefront. But there is a certain amount of suppression. You wouldn't be human if you didn't have some of what you encountered impact on you. And I suppose I liken it to a sheet of A4 paper. It's light, it's feather light. equate that to one exposure to death, but after time goes by, sheet after sheet gets laid down and that's all suppressed inside, and that's the way you have to deal with it. It's not the sort of stuff you can come home and talk about in the evening, and
that's
it does take strength, it does take resilience to get through. Clear,
like, you can't, even if you wanted to, I would say you can't talk about those things. They're so sensitive for lots of different
reasons. And I suppose coming home in the car in the evening from that was my time to
decompress,
Claire, but it certainly wasn't something you could be bringing up over the kitchen table, you know.
Yeah, and your job must have changed a lot in the time that you were involved, because forensics has changed so much in recent years.
Sure, it has, Claire, with the advent of DNA sampling and APHIS in the automated fingerprint system. But I suppose the core genesis of the origin of seeing a crime really hasn't changed from Locard's principle of every contact leaves a trace, in that it is still the same. Something is brought to a crime scene and something is taken from a crime scene, and thus the evidence follows. So no matter how strong the advances are, it's still based on that that original theory of Locard's.
And how closely would you have followed cases? So the event happens, you go in and you do your work, and then you move on to the next thing. But that case has a long life after you have left the scene.
It has a long life, Claire. And yes, you do follow it because you're being updated with regards to court appearances, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose at times you do have a deep personal connection, because you're actually meeting family members that are there at a scene. You know, it stays with you. It marks you, and it certainly gives you cause for reflection.
Yeah, is that something that you did? Did you speak to family members at a scene? Because I ask you because you've got the white suit on, and I think in a way that creates a barrier between
it
you
does.
And the people who are standing there. Or did you go over and say,
I would always sympathise if there was a family member there, and you would have to, Claire. It's the human thing to do. And sometimes it's just the circumstance that you would be thrown into, that the family members were there. You just had to engage, and that's something that stays with you know.
But it all did take its toll on you, didn't it?
Well, Claire, I'll tell you, I examined this in the book because we breached all thresholds for PTSD. There is no doubt about that. And as I passed on, I had a health experience, a health issue myself. Suffered badly from a dose of vertigo, but it was due to pressures from home. I had a sister that was dying from cancer, and I was caring along with my wife for her mother, who had dementia after her husband died. I could cope with the crime scenes, I could cope with the horrors, Claire, but when it came to I suppose stacking that stuff on top of the several A4 reams of paper, there was no capacity to take anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, I got through it. But what it did do was it forced me to question my own mortality. It brought me back to a place where I was nearly back at that stage I was at as a child, in fearing what was
coming
there to face me, and it forced me to reflect very deeply on my own mortality and the death that awaits us all. And I suppose, Claire, the very fact of being so close to death for such a long period of time, you can't but reflect, and you can't but consider its implications.
Now, suicide is something that you touch on in the book as well, and we know that we have a problem in this country with suicide.
Yes,
but is it that you believe we don't understand it fully, just how big a problem it is here?
I would agree with that, Claire. I suppose when you go to a scene of a suicide, and maybe two, three in a shift, four or five over a 2 week period of time, it really brings home to you the problem that's in our midst. And for me, seeing the resources that are put into the very successful result in reducing road deaths, I just don't see that the same level of awareness is there. The numbers are staggering and shocking, Claire, and it's something that I think really calls for perhaps some sort of an accident and emergency triage type system specifically for mental health, because police are left holding the can, nurses are left holding the can, doctors are left holding the can. There's no specific psychologists on call, and people go into the system, they're into a Garda station, into a hospital, and they're out with no intervention, Claire. So something needs to be done. If I had access to the Garda figures now, we're talking 50 a month. Now, because of the slow delay with the coroner system, which is entirely understandable, you mightn't have a verdict brought in until 2 years later. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the figures tend to get skewed and they don't have the same impact as if the finality was decided sooner, Claire.
And of course, you see the aftermath then, you know, the impact
shock
of
shock and the impact.
When we're at the scene.
The impact. And I think I refer to it as the, you know, it's the transfer fee of suicide is the grief and torment that's transferred from the person that's suffering deeply themselves onto the family and family members.
Okay, so let's talk about how the book came about, because you did a TED talk.
Yes,
and
yes.
And that leads you to a place where you're in the middle of a bidding war. You've all these publishers who are asking you to
yes,
write the
Claire.
Story. So that was a transformative moment.
It was transformative, Claire. And I suppose the TEDx talk was down in Tralee a couple of years ago. And it was actually on the night that I left, my last night in the job. And the title was Life Lessons from Dealing with Death. And that sparked an interest. I had changed career. I work for a company now. I go around to schools giving talks. So I've had a big about turn, and I've been able to use the resilience that I've built up in dealing with death on such a large scale to give my take on it, give my insights into it, but all the time reflecting on what it has meant to have that exposure to death in such a way.
So what is the one life lesson that you'd like to tell us about from your career?
The one life lesson, I suppose, Claire, is that this thing awaits us all. And the realization of that sometimes escapes us, and we can distract ourselves through life, through pursuits of so many different nature, and we lose sight of the fact that it awaits us all. And in a crazy set of circumstances, I ended up taking a trip to India in January this year. I wanted to get an Eastern perspective on death and how they looked at it over there. And there I got a little glimpse of another way of looking at it, another way of considering it. And I suppose that glimpse has given me an insight into the fact that there is more to it, perhaps, that we have a spirit inside us that perhaps, according to their views, may just survive the death that we fear so much. And the realization and the fear that's there in us all for that death, well, maybe it's just part of life as well, you know. And that's something to be considered, to be thought about.
Living in fear of death, perhaps we should, you know, remind ourselves to live.
Well, that's it. We talk about life after death. We talk about you know, what may await, often at the expense of this marvelous life that we're living, Claire, you know.
Well, the book is out now, isn't it?
It's been published in the last few days. It's available now, Claire. And again, I think there's a bit for everybody in it. It's a real insight into the world of crime scene investigation, a deep visit into it. But it's more than that. It's a personal story as well. And it is that reflection on this death that awaits us all.
Well, the best of luck with it, Kieran, and thanks for coming in. And the book by Kieran Pryor is called Traces of Truth, A CSI Investigates Life and Death. It's published by Gill Books and it's on sale now. And I know some of the themes we discussed there might be difficult for some people. So if you've been affected by anything that you just heard, you can find out more information and helplines by visiting rte.ie/helplines.
51551. Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.